Welcome to Untethered Voice, a podcast about finding your voice and following your soul's call. I'm Kara Jones, a storyteller, guide, and total human cheeseball, and I'm sharing what I know in the only way I know how, through the hard, beautiful, awkward truth of my own experience. Here we go. It's 2012, and I'm at Burning Man, this wild festival of creativity and community in the desert. And I'm inspired while I'm there to try mushrooms for the first time. And I'm with my brother and we go to the outskirts of the desert. And as it all starts kicking in, everything starts to slow down and I close my eyes. And one of the first things I see is an image of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Reverend Moon is the founder of this wild religion slash cult that I was raised in called the Unification Church, otherwise known as the Moonies. And at this point in my life, I had been out. I'd left a marriage. I'd been out of the church for about 15 years. And I told myself that that story was no longer relevant to who I was. And then Reverend Moon appears in my mushroom journey, and he's telling me that he supports me. And this is not the message that lives in my psyche from the man whose group that I left. The next day, there is this ceremony where this wooden statue of a man who is at the center of the Burning Man camp burns down, and everyone stands around and watches it. And I was thinking about him because he was so the center of my religious world growing up. The next day, we're driving out of Burning Man. And as soon as my cell reception kicks in, I start getting these texts. Did you hear that Reverend Moon passed away? He had died that weekend. And among a lot of feelings, the one thing that I remember clearest of all was this strong sense that now was the time to tell this story. Five years later, this happened.
So it was the summer of 1995, and I was standing in the Seoul Olympic Stadium in Korea, clenching the hand of a man that I had met just a month before and was about to marry. We stood there in the stadium among 10,000 other brides and grooms, all of us in neat rows of uniform black suits matching white wedding dresses. My marriage was arranged by a man named Reverend Sun Myung Moon.
This is me telling my story at a moth storytelling event in San Francisco, and I am so nervous. I had spent 5 years before this collecting footage for a documentary that just wasn't coming together. And a friend mentor dared me to put my name in the hat at this event. And this happened like 2 days before the event was happening. So I just had to figure out what my story was about in 5 minutes, practice it in the shower. I got up there on the stage and shook my way through it. And the whole process helped me get to the emotional core of what I wanted to say. And 2 years after that, with the help of an amazing team, the film Blessed Child made its way out into the world. It's now 2024, 12 years after getting that call to tell my story. And I wanted to reflect for those of you who might also feel a similar call on some things I've learned along the way. When I first started the journey, I was a news reporter. I was a filmmaker. I just felt like this part of my life was no longer relevant to who I was. So I had taped it up in a box, wrapped it with duct tape, and just left it aside. I also felt like telling that story would put me in a category of, you know, cult survivor stories. And I didn't want to be the poster child for the cult survivor. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It just didn't feel like what I was here for, didn't feel like what I was passionate about. And so there didn't feel like there was a point to telling this story. As I started excavating my story, what I found most valuable was uncovering what I cared most about because of my own struggle. And that was truth. And I realized that I could tell this story in service of exploring my truth, in service of exploring the complexity of truth in a family, which is what the film ended up being about. And it gave a whole other meaning to telling my story. It wasn't just about putting my story out there. It was about telling my story in service of something that I wanted to say about it. And when you marry that story with what you have to say, your unique point of view, it can travel a lot farther. It can reach more people. People who may not share your story, but share what you care about. Share that point of view. When I first started telling this story, I was pretty pissed at Reverend Moon. When he died, I was like, this guy is dead. And because of all he did and made my parents do, here I am struggling. Here I am alone. I so desperately wanted to create a family of my own, have a partner. None of that was working out for me. And I was angry about it. Exploring my story put me on a healing path. And part of that healing was letting my version of the story and all the anger and sadness wrapped up in it be witnessed. I did that in private spaces, outside of the public eye. I talked, I cried, I acted it out, I bashed pillows. And what I've seen in working with hundreds of people on their story is that when our stories are witnessed, they start to lose their grip. And over time, new ways of looking at that story emerge. Memory is not just what happened, but the meaning we keep giving it. One of the other ways of looking at my story that has arisen since telling it is seeing my life as an expression of the path that my soul is on. I don't pretend to know exactly how this works, but I believe my soul came here to learn something, and that sometimes the way we learn that thing is to experience the opposite of it. I believe my soul came here to learn about truth. And for me to learn about that, I decided to show up in this wild religious experience where it was all about someone else's truth, so much so that I couldn't even choose my own husband. It was my journey of struggling my way out of all that that has allowed me to not only care about truth, but know something about what it takes to discover and give voice to one's own truth. And what happened when I started seeing my story this way is that there are no villains. There are no victims. And that has allowed me to free up a whole bunch of creative energy to focus on creating the life that I want. And I believe everyone has this creative potential. The last and maybe most important thing that I've learned is that each of us hold a unique kind of wisdom because of how we've struggled. The storyteller Michael Mead says, "The wound is the womb of your wisdom." Finding my truth has never come easy to me, so I know something about this process. Maybe for you it's truth, or maybe it's self-love or presence or freedom, that thing you've struggled to find. And what I've discovered in my own life is that every time I lose my way in my work, in my life, in my marriage, it's because I've gotten disconnected from my own medicine. On the flip side, it's my ability to practice, in my case, finding and sharing my truth, that has allowed new stories to unfold. So in this regard, whatever it is you're creating in the world, a book, a podcast, a coaching program, let it be a playground for you to practice taking your own medicine. That thing that you care about because of how you've struggled, that thing you hold unique wisdom around, separate from your trainings and degrees. Let whatever it is you're putting out in the world hold you accountable to that medicine, and watch magic unfold from that. I wanted to end with this quick story. So after I decided to say yes to that documentary project, I went to Korea and started filming. Again, had an amazing team with me through this whole process who believed in the story along with me. And when I got back, and I see what I did there in saying yes to the film was essentially getting on the path of my truth. And when I got back, I went to this dinner party and I again was stepping into my truth and telling people what I had just done and a little bit about my whole background. And there was this guy there and he was listening among this circle of people. And he said, "Oh, I'd really like to watch that film one day." And here's what happened a couple years later.
And I'm walking, and there's so much I still can't see. I can't see that despite my deepest fears and the difference in faith, my parents, my whole family would come to love him so completely. I can't see that a few years in, with the help of love and science, at the age of 41, I'd give birth to our beautiful baby girl. I can't see this, but I keep walking until the end of that aisle and we're standing under this giant oak tree. And to this life and this love, I can finally, in my own words this time, say yes. 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 Thank you.
For more true stories, practical wisdom, contemplations on showing up and being seen in your life and soul-driven work, I welcome you to my email list, where people love that I show up like a real human being. You can sign up at www.kara-jones.com. Thanks for listening.